Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that says Magic and Joyce and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and y'all know the word, and blessed to be with you this morning as we move through the word of God. And it is what? A great word today. It is a great word today. I am so grateful that God has given me another opportunity to read and study his word. Whew, what a great day it is. I'm claiming it. I'm going to have a great day. You know, sometimes you just got to wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to have a great day. I am. I'm claiming it. And I'm believing it, that it's going to be a great day for me. And so I pray that it's going to be a great day for you as well. For we are so enormously blessed to be sons and daughters of the Most High God, who loves us completely and totally. Wow. He loves us completely and totally. And I just need to say today, thank you, God. Thank you for this great day. Thank you for waking me up early this morning and just putting a pip in my step, because I got a good night's rest. Thank you, God. Father God in heaven, I come to you this morning with a happy, joyful heart, Lord God, ready to go to work for you, ready to go to work to do what I do for the glory of your kingdom. Lord God, I lift up the name of Jesus today, thanking you for your son who gave his life for me, just for me. I feel sometimes that Jesus went and did it just for me. So I thank you, Father God, and I lift up this mighty word, this Bible, Lord God, this basic instruction before leaving earth that you gave to each and every one of us. I lift it up to you today, God, asking you, Lord God, to please increase as your daughter decreases. Lord God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Father God, are my strength, and you, Father God, are my redeemer. I lift this word to you, thanking you, praising you, giving you honor, giving you glory, and just saying this morning, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Thank you for the good. Thank you for the bad. Thank you for the ugly, because I needed it to grow up, to become who you want me to become. So, Father God, I ask you to continue guiding me, leading me, as I repent of anything said, thought, or done, God. For I want to be the best person I can be, because I want my name written in the book. I want my name in the book, and I want to hear your voice as you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. So, Father God, again, thank you again for the opportunity to serve you this morning as I read your word. To whomever listens, may they get a blessing from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Because y'all know your host will get emotional. I get to praying, and then I feel the Holy Spirit. And the next thing I know, the tears are coming because I just feel overwhelmed by how good God is. But I also understand that God don't play, and he does not tolerate stupidity for very long. So as we get into this word this morning, you know, we got to repent. And in the time of Noah, they didn't. They didn't repent. They didn't ask for forgiveness. They didn't get on their knees. They didn't do anything but do what they do. They was doing them. They was doing them. You know, as the word of God said in yesterday's word, you know, they was just wicked. It's wicked. And then you had the sons of men coming down to the daughters and making babies and, you know, come on now. The little demigod. Said, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Knocked us down from over 900 years to 120. And not that many people that I know of today live to be 120 years. You know, I think we got knocked down from 120 to 3, 4, and 10. And it says there were giants on the in those days and also afterwards when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. And then it says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both men and beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I've just read to you Genesis chapter 6, verses 3 through 8. And our word for this morning is Genesis chapter 7 through chapter 8, verse 22. This morning is the third Psalm, verses 1 through 4. Our proverb is the first proverb, is Proverbs, not first Proverbs, but Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 through 22, verses 20 through 22. And our title is coming out of Matthew chapter 4 this morning. And I just have to say thank you, God. So forgive me if my tongue gets a little tied and I say a word wrong or I speak a name incorrectly. Forgive a girl and keep it moving, because you know what? I'm going to still do what I do, because I don't do it for me. I do it for the Lord. So, and I'm not perfect. I'm in transition. Hallelujah to a better person and a better speaker. You know, thanking God for those Toastmaster classes. Hallelujah. But let's keep it going in that degree in communication. So thank you, Lord. God was preparing me even when I didn't know it. So let's keep going. And it says, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven, each of every clean animal, a male and his female, animals that are unclean, a male and his female, also seven each birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And understand, we understand that the Lord sent animals as well. You know, and the Lord said, listen what it said in our lesson yesterday in Genesis chapter 6. And he told him, he said, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your son, your wife, and your son's wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind. Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And he says, and you shall take for yourselves of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourselves, and it shall be food for you and for them. But then in today's word, you say, well, wait a minute. God said it was two. But here it's saying this. Let's go back to verse 1 of chapter 7. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven, each of every clean animal, a male and his female, to each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female. Also, seven each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. Wow. 100 years old. And if we go back again to, Noah was 500 years old when Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And he was 600 years old when he went into the ark. So he was a little old when he started building that ark. You know, over 100 years. That he, instead of 120 years is when, how long it took to build this ark, I believe I read somewhere. But here it's saying it was about 100 years because he was building it before his son even came. You know, God loved Noah. And he said, hey, I got work for you to do, young man. He's 500 years old. But again, their 500 years is like our 20. So come on, God did the thing. And as we continue in our word this morning, Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. So Noah with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean animals, of animals that are unclean, of birds, and of everything that creeps on the earth. Two by two, they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded. They went in two by two, but it was more than two of every species. And that was what was like, wow. You learn something every day when you read the word of God. And then it goes on to tell us, two by two, they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth in the 600th year of Noah's life. Second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. And that's how you know it was one wife to one son. So both the all three boys had one wife. So there were eight people on the ark. Noah and his family, Noah and his three sons, his and their wives, Noah's wife and his three daughter-in-laws. Eight people. And it says on the very same day. So you know what the word of God says. Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female, of all flesh went in as God had commanded them, and the Lord shut him in. And it says this, and now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the water. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heavens were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved on the earth. Birds and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. 150 days the water was on the earth. Then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the water subsided. The mountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the water receded continually from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the waters decreased. Then the ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month on the mountain of Ararat. And I'm going to say this because if you watch the History Channel, which I do, they have found this ark. They know exactly where it is, which confirms the story of the Bible. You know, folks want to say, oh, I don't believe in this and I don't believe in that. I believe in God. I believe in his word, and I know for a fact, because they have found it, that this ark exists on the mountain of Ararat. In Turkey, they have found it, and it is restricted, because we already know that have these people would be all over it, taking it apart to try to have a piece of this blessing. Leave things alone. God covered it for a purpose and a reason. If you want to see the ark, go to Kentucky. There is an ark there. They built in the exact specifications of the word of God, and it is awesome. Creation Museum is wonderful. The ark is wonderful. You need to go visit Kentucky and see it. I believe it's Williamsville, Kentucky, is where the ark is. And it's an experience. It really is. I had a great time. And I believe that our children had a great time as well. And as we come back to our word, it says this. So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the windows of the ark which he had made. Then he sent out a raven which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. He also sent out from himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her feet, and she returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark for him to himself. And he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came to him in the evening and beheld a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. So he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which did not return again to him anymore. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and every creep that whatever creeps on the earth according to their families went out of the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took up every clean animal, clean bird, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled the soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Wow, what a word. And a couple of life lessons from Genesis chapter 8. And it says this, God remembered Noah and every living thing. God always remembers his people, not merely to recall their existence or names, but to act in grace toward them, even if they must wait for him to act. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. God's promises means the difference between life and death. Even when things look darkest, we can rely on his trustworthy word. Hallelujah. What a beautiful word this morning. And as we go into our psalm, it is the third psalm, and it's verses 1 through 4. A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom. When he fled from Absalom, his son, because, you know, his son wanted to take over. And, you know, his son was a nasty little critter. And had beautiful, beautiful hair. And his hair was his death, you know, at the hands of, yeah. We'll get to that. I don't want to get y'all excited because I'm going to tell you, this kid was not good. And, yeah, we're not going to go there until we get to our psalm, more of our psalms and more of our kings and chronicles. And we read about Absalom and Solomon and everybody. So let's keep it in the word. And it says, Lord, how they have increased and troubled me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. Yeah. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Yeah. Wow. David went through. You know, that's why the Psalms are so beautiful, because he is not one that's just writing a whole bunch of words. He went through. You know, we talk about we go through and we done been through and we, no, minding his own business, taking care of his father's sheep, called out to be the greatest king ever. To fight as a youngster against a giant. And we're not talking, you know, 5 foot, you know, 9, 6, you know, we're talking a giant. You got little David and 9 feet plus tall, Goliath. Think that through. I'm 5 feet tall. So someone way taller than me by 4 feet is a giant. By 10 feet, you know, about 5 feet, double my height. Come on now. You better understand. And they have found skulls. Again, watch the History Channel. They have found skulls of giants. They have found them. We don't know what's still roaming on this earth, cave in these places, that we're so nosy that we just want to go meddling. You go meddle into something that you don't want to find. We need to stop. When God wants you to find something, he'll send it to you. But I'm going to tell you, you know, we have got to understand Goliath was a giant. Orc was a giant. They talked about it all through the Word, that giants were still in existence. They came back, even after the flood. They came back. You know, God destroyed everything. And sin came right back. still moving here. It says, many are the they who say of me, there is no help for them. Thank God. It make it, to make it in this Christian life. We must surround ourselves with other believers who love the Lord and who love us. Doubters and skeptics we can find anywhere. In the church, we should find encouragement. Come on now. You know, we cannot be running around calling ourselves being mad and talking about each other. It's time to grow up. It's time for the body of Christ to come together, and all the foolishness that happened is not of God. If you're in a church where everybody is not accepted and the word of God is not spoken, you're not in the right place. God wants us to love. He said in his word, by loving kindness do we draw them. Not hate, rhetoric, and crazy speech. We got to be kind. We got to be loving. We got to care about others besides ourselves. That's what God wants from us. Are you doing what God called you to do? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20-22. Wisdom comes aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Come on now. God will hit you in your stomach because it's true and you know it's true. But you have those that will say, oh, that's just a bunch of fairy tales. It's fantasy. It's this, it's that. But they know in their heart that the word is true. They know it. They know it. But they will tell people that it's not. Why? For their own personal benefit. This word is true. And I can tell you it's true. And all you have to do, again, watch the History Channel. Watch other stuff. Read stuff. Study stuff. Look at other things. And you will find so many times that what you think is fake winds up being true. And what you think is fantasy can also come true. Who would have ever thought watching Dick Tracy, and I'm telling my age, I was little. I want to make sure y'all understand that. I was not a big girl. I was a little bitty girl when Dick Tracy was on. I'm not that old. But I am mature. And I'm going to tell you something. When you watch Dick Tracy back in the day, he had his little watch on his arm. He could talk to you. And what happened? We got our iWatches and Google Watches and everything. You can look down on your watch and talk on the phone. I know I was doing it yesterday. And I thought about, folks talk about fantasy stuff. And, you know, why are you as a Christian, why do you watch all of that? Why do you go to this movie or that movie? Because sometimes you never know what you're seeing in fantasy may not become your reality. All we have to do is look at, you know, another movie or another show, Star Trek. Who would ever thought one day we would be able to put this little device in our ear and be able to talk to it? Think that there. This handheld device, we would be able to see the face of whoever we were talking to. This computer screen that we can say, hey, Siri, call. And she does. Come on now. All this stuff was fantasy 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And it's our reality. AI, reality. What do you think Siri is? Understand. And I always say, unless this is asleep. You know, you can be having a conversation unless they jump all up in your conversation. You ever said, Alexa, that Alexa all up in it? and give an opinion. I was like, oh my, Snoop. But the bottom line is that the word of God is true. What you least think can happen, happens. So when we read Revelation, don't get all crazy, because it can be our reality. Everything that's in God's word is starting to come right now and be proven to be true. That ark sitting on Ararat is a big time example of a truth. And we got to look at the word of God, because everything that you least expect is in the word. All you have to do is read it. In your reality, that you say, you know what, that was in the word of God. You will see behaviors of people and you will think, wow, it's in the word of God. Proverbs, Psalms, they will tell you things and you're like, oh, wow. Yeah, wow. Because Solomon and David could write. That's all I'm going to say. They could write. Please tell a friend. Join us for this exciting year. I'm going to tell you, this year is going to be so exciting. The word of God comes alive when you read it, when you hear it. It's like visions. You see it. And you understand that God is magnificent and that he loves us. And that makes us magnificent too, because he created each and every one of us. He said, I knitted you in your mother's womb. But God wants us to take care of that baby that comes out of the womb. So all these folks out there, and I'm speaking, talk about right to life. Our children that are in this world deserve a right to life. These babies that are homeless on the streets deserve a right to life. These people coming across the borders because they're seeking a better life deserve a right to life. So I'm saying to all my brothers and sisters in the fight, the life, that all life is important to God in the womb. And that's all you can talk about. Pick what's already in this world and help take care of them. Because God told us already in his word that the poor will always be with us. So don't get on your high horse and always want me, 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 and I. We have to love each other. And that includes loving the living as much as you love what's in the womb. And I don't know where that came from, but it's just the word that we need to come and take to heart. Life is important to God, all life. And we need to treat each other with the love that only God can bring through us. And you know God, you know how to love your brothers and your sisters. And our word for this morning, which is where our title comes from, about repentance. You got to repent. Jesus told us. And this is what it says in the word. And then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Not by a demon, but by the devil, by the one himself. That fallen angel that knew he was less than Jesus. Because Jesus was there in the beginning. He already knew who Jesus was. But he was going to try to say, huh, I got, because we all know he's the Son of God. You know, come from heaven. He was there with us in the beginning. But I'm going to get him. Because again, remember, the whole fall was because of jealousy. Because he wanted to be in charge. I can do better than him. Wrong. So let's see what he does. It says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Now you already know he's the Son of God, you little sneaky, low-down, dirty snake. You already know he is the Son of God. You already know it. But then you're going to say, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And Jesus flipped the script. But he answered and said, it is written. Come on now. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Bam, back at you. And then he comes up with another temptation. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on that pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. It's out. Please don't try to use the word against Jesus. Come on now. Again, like I tell folks, the devil knows the word of God too. Don't ever get it twisted. Why you think there's all kind of false prophets and teachers in these pulpits, and they'll preach the word. And you'll be like, oh, Pastor, show them preach today. And then you realize you've been duped. Because understand, the enemy knows the word of God too. And I'm going to read it again. Because he keeps throwing in that word, if you are this, if you are that, when he already knows who Jesus is. Don't ever get it twisted. The devil knows who Jesus is and knew who Jesus was when he was trying to tempt him. So let's get it here. And then it says, then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. So he's going to throw the Bible back to Jesus. Because remember, Jesus just threw it at him. So he's like, oh, you know, like he's playing tennis. He's like, oh, let me throw this back over. Pop this ball back over to your court. He shall give his angels charge over you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Then Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And then again, it says, and again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Bam, back at you, and point. Because you know what? Jesus Christ, I ain't playing with you now. You just full of it. Because we all know your happy behind got thrown out of heaven because you didn't know how to act. Because you was trying to get folks to bow down to you up there. And bam, we beat your butt and send you right on down here. So no, I know who you are. You know who I am. Come on now. Jesus wasn't playing with the devil. And he told him, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Understand, he knew who he was. The devil knew who he was. But he was trying to say, well, you know, if I can turn the Son of God to my side, then I'm going to win this battle. Because he's still trying to fight. In the spiritual realm, he's still trying to fight. But he loses, and he knows he loses. And it says, and then the devil left him, and behold, say it again, behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Dead and darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. And we know that that light is our Savior Jesus Christ. And it says that from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that is our title for today. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Immediately, you hear that word. Immediately, they left their nets. On from there, you saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Immediately. Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, followed Jesus. You think that they immediately, they didn't ask questions. They went with the Savior. They didn't have to get a survey. They didn't have to get a poll. They didn't have to go and find out what he said and she said immediately. And it goes on to say, and John and Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptic, and paralytic. And he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Wow. Mighty and awesome is our Savior. Immediately, are you immediately following Jesus? Are you trying to figure out if it's the best course of action? Should I do this? Let me get an after-action report to see if it's feasible to follow Jesus. Yes, it is. It is feasible. It is the best thing that you could ever do. You don't need a survey. You don't need a poll. All you need is Jesus and to repent that the kingdom of God is at hand. And it says in Matthew chapter 4 and 1, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And Dr. Stanley, thank you so much. For those that are just joining us, Dr. Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year, is the Bible that we are coming out of again this year. Wow. And I get more excited every day. And I thank Dr. Stanley. So I tell you, please, and I'm not paid by, I want to make sure I disclaim, I am not paid by this ministry to hawk this Bible or to tell you to donate to In Touch Ministries. But it is worth it. It truly is worth it. This Bible will take you places that you have never been. I am so excited to be in my second year of reading the whole thing from Genesis to Revelation. And I am filled up so much because I love God and I love his word. And I thank him every day for giving me this opportunity, for keeping me in my right mind to read the word, for giving me speech to speak and ears to hear. Thank you, Lord. And Dr. Stanley tells us the Holy Spirit led Jesus to a barren place where the devil waited to tempt him. We should never doubt God's leading just because we run into temptation. This is often God's way of testing us. Jesus passed the test. Are we passing the test? I'm going to tell you, there have been times I've fallen short, and I didn't pass. But I praise God that he picked me up, dusted me off, forgave me after I repented, and said, Lord, forgive me. I messed up. And I'm doing my best, God, to clean up the mess that I have made. With your help, I can do all things. Hallelujah. And as we continue in Matthew 4:3, when the tempter came to him, he said, if it just commanded these stones become bread. Satan tries to get us to doubt the word of God and test God's promises. He will urge us to think that God cannot quite be trusted. And that's how God is. Oh, you won't die. Girl, please. I don't even eat that food. It's all good. It's all good. You can give a knowledge and you don't know that. Don't worry about it. Just lying. And he does it. He tempts us. Kind of buy that for the shoes. You know you need it. No, I don't. You know, I had to stop and think the other day. I was online because I love shoes. You know, and I like just plain old everyday comfortable shoes. Not high, you know, my feet are not made for, you know, high heels and big boots and shiny things. You know, so I get comfortable everyday normal shoes. And I like them. I like gym shoes. I like, yeah, you can tell my age, gym shoes. You know, I like shoes that are comfortable, you know, with arch support and all those things. That may have a little cute to them. You know, and I saw these shoes, and I was like, oh, my. And purple is my color. I love purple. And I saw these purple boots that I was like, oh, they are calling my name. No. And I had to close my computer. I'm like, you know what? That is nothing but a temptation. You got shoes right now that you need to give away. Why are you trying to buy some more shoes? You know, the devil will tempt you with what you like. You know, I love shoes. And it's like, but I don't like shoes enough to give my soul to them. So I closed the computer. And no, I did not order my purple boots that I thought had my name on it, but they didn't. Because, you know what? If it's meant for me to have some purple boots, they'll be a whole lot cheaper. And as we continue and still living. And it goes on saying, when the tempter came in, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Satan tries, and I'm saying it again, as Dr. Stanley has put it, Satan tries to get us to doubt the word of God and test God's promises. He will urge us to think that God cannot quite be trusted, you know, or that what he has said is not the whole truth. Everything that the Lord says is the truth, and you can take it to the grave and take it to your, as you stand before the Lord, and he tells you, good and well done, my faithful servant. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Oh, come on now. Loving God is important. And then it goes on to say in verses 4, 7, and 10, it is written. Jesus Jesus responded to each of Satan's three temptations by appealing to the unchanging word of God. It is written. Do you fall into that category? Do you come back when you are tempted? It is written. It is written. We got to have it is written in our spirit. If we want to successfully overcome temptation, we must know what the word says. That's why we do what we do. That's why I do what I do. Because I want to know what is written. I want to know how to fight. And that's the only way we can fight the wiles of the enemy, is to know it is written. And as we continue in our word this morning, and this is the last of what we have from our Bible this morning. And it says, answers to life's questions. How do I handle negative? And it says, Satan loves to use fear and doubt against believers. He knows if he can get you to question God, then maybe you will give up and abandon his will for your life. Feelings of fear often precede feelings of doubt and uncertainty. If left unattended, these runaway emotions can cause you to stop trusting God and his ability to provide for you. Come on now. A first step to diffuse doubt is to determine its origin. Begin by asking yourself if your feelings of doubt have a legitimate basis. Many times we struggle with thoughts and feelings that have no validity. Second, reading God's word is a great way to combat fear. A daily reading program, such as the one you're reading right now. Come on now, Dr. Sam. And that's the truth. One that you're listening to right now will show you many ways to handle doubt. The book of Psalms highlights many personal battles over emotions such as fear, doubt, loneliness, and discouragement. David and others made a conscious decision to trust the Lord through tremendous difficult circumstances and found that God never once failed them. And I can say in my heart, God has never failed me, ever. God has never failed me. I failed me, but God has not. Woo! Prayer is an essential, is also essential in fighting fear and doubt. In essence, prayer is praying today. When we pray, regardless of whether we feel like it, we make a statement of faith. We pray because we see God as the solution to what we face. If you are facing a difficult situation, don't be slow in asking God to show you the best way to handle it. If your level of trust seems low, don't worry. God is wise and kind. He wants to teach you more about himself, not frighten you away. Your faith will increase as you get to know him better. Even if you don't have an emotional strength to trust God, you can still begin. God will be your strength. Woo! God will be your strength. And you know, we got to understand when God tests you, it is a good time for you to test him by putting his promises to the proof and claiming from him just as much as your trials are rendered necessary. And that was a person named A.B. Simpson that told that. But I believe in my heart that God will test you. You want to pass the test. Because when you don't pass the test, you get a mess. But understand from your message will come a message that God will use you. From your test, you will be able to testify to how good God is and how God brought you through your storm of life. And that's not in Dr. Stanley's book, but I tell you this. What Dr. Stanley says, always be honest with God. He knows it all anyway. Honesty breaks the pattern of doubt. The last thing Satan wants you to do is to go to God in prayer and tell him you feel doubtful. He knows that God loves you with an eternal love, and that if you come to him for help, he will give you all the assistance you need. Hallelujah. Let's thank God this morning. Let's thank God this morning. He hears us, that he sees us, that he knows our name. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, for your grace. And I love the word for our prayer for this morning, positive influence. And it's from Matthew chapter 5, which we will be in on tomorrow. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5 and 16, NASB. Wonderful God, you are brighter than the sun. Your ways shine brilliantly in a dark world. Lord, I have joined my life to yours. May my life reflect your glory. I will not hoard the goodness you place in my life, living as if my interests are the only ones that matter. If I keep my light hidden, what's the point? Lord, I know that you have given me everything I need to live a life like yours. As I love others with mercy, may they realize how incredibly merciful you are. As I live with a heart of compassion toward all, may others catch on to how compassionate you are. When I treat others with kindness, no matter this, may it be a reflection of your own inclusive kindness. Let all I do line up with your character. When it doesn't, let me be quick to repent and seek forgiveness and reconciliation, revealing your magnanimous heart that is swift to forgive. Be glorified in my life. And our word for the day is a question. How do your actions reflect the heart of the Father? Hallelujah. Thank God this morning. And as we go forth, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And then we will be wrapping it up this morning, family. Because, again, I got to go to work. And I'm thanking God for the opportunity to work for him. And I thank him for all of you listening in this morning. And a couple of words, actually, from our sister in Christ. And the word for yesterday, God has great things planned for you, and his promises are yours to enjoy. Find your place on life through him. Find your place in life through him. And as we get into today's word from our sister in Christ, and she said, have a terrific Tuesday. And I did. I had a really good day. And it says this, good morning. Sometimes you get knocked down lower than you ever been, just to stand taller than you ever were. Woo, have a walk with God Wednesday. And as we know from our word this morning, Jesus was at his lowest, fasting 40 days and 40 nights. And then the sneaky snake slithers in to try to tempt him. But we got to work on having our, it is written in our hearts. And again, sometimes you get knocked down to lower than you ever been, taller than you ever were. I'm believing God for a standing tall today and a walking with God Wednesday. That's all I got. That's all my sister has sent. It's time to go, y'all. I hate leaving you, but I got to go to work. And I thank you all for listening in. And when you're ready, for those that listen on a regular basis, to give your testimony, the number is 213-943-3597. Give us a call. Again, 213-943-3597. Call in, listen in, and all you have to do is push the number 1 on your phone, and your line will be open to speak. Thank you so much, family, for joining me this morning as we have moved forward in God's word. Have a blessed and glorious day. And as my sister in Christ says, have a walking with God Wednesday, knowing that he is with you wherever you go. He's got you. And remember, when the enemy comes at you, remember, it is written. Hallelujah. Have a great day, family, and be blessed. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, knowing that the Lord is with you, thanking him, praising him, and just feeling all bubbly inside. Have a great day. It's a wrap.